Welcome to episode 65 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Andy, Amy, and Sandy. Hawaii is the 8th smallest and the 11th least populous, but the 13th most densely populated of the 50 U.S. states. It is made up of many, many islands spread out over about 1,500 miles, but most people know Hawaii as the 8 main islands and the very southeastern end of the archipelago. In order, from northernmost to southernmost, those islands are Niihau, Kauai, Oahu, Molokai, Lanai, Kaloi, Maui, and the island of Hawaii. And hopefully I said all those right.
That was impressive.
I had to memorize that when I was in high school. This is why I am actually hosting the podcast tonight, because I didn't want to make anybody else have to say those. Today we want to focus on the big island of Hawaii, but don't worry, we have plans to talk about the other islands in future episodes. But for now, let's get started. So I guess the first thing to talk about with Hawaii is that it is still an active, when I just was there, we learned the difference between active and dormant and all of that. And actually Hawaii is still active, not only with the volcano that's still erupting, but in order for a volcano to really be considered dead, it needs to have not erupted for 10,000 years.
Oh my
so
goodness.
Actually, wow. most of the volcanoes on Hawaii are still technically active. The chances of many of them like erupting while you're standing on them are not highly likely, but they are technically considered active. Yeah.
So where's the, what I saw on the news like last year, one of them that was erupting and the lava was just coming towards this farm.
Over the highway.
Yes.
That was on Big Island.
Was that the Big Island? Okay.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nice thing about the Hawaii eruptions are they're fairly slow. You know, they're not like those explosive, they do get those, but they're rare. They're not those explosive boom. They tend to be sort of like, I don't know, kind of like leaks, if
like
you will.
Like a lava flow.
Yeah, and so people have time to get out of the way. It doesn't mean that the lava will not destroy something, but and it did in that case, but they have time to get out of the way. They can sort of generally outrun the lava flow. It's not as fast as, you know, what you hear about with some of those, like Pompeii or things like that.
Oh, yeah, where people were, like, frozen.
Yeah, where people were, like, basically, yeah.
So where did you fly into for this one?
So there's two places you can fly into. And Amy, when you were there, you flew into Kona as well. Is that
I did.
Right? Yeah. So Hilo is actually a little bit more industrial. It's sort of the bigger city. It's also on the wet side of the island. It's this where they get like almost rain every day, kind of like England. Right?
Really?
Yeah. Because of the way the mountains are, you know, the wind blows and then the clouds basically dump. And that's very typical of a mountain range.
I bet it's a warmer rain than England.
I bet it is. I bet it is. I cannot attest to that myself other than my one experience in New York going, oh, this rain is so gross. But it is rain. I mean, it's not super pleasant to be hanging out in. It goes to drizzle. It's not like horrible, but it does rain sort of all the time on the Hilo side. You can fly into Hilo, but I flew into Kona and I think Amy did as well. And that's where most people obviously want to stay because it's not raining.
And we didn't make that drive. A lot of people we were with drove over to Hilo is where the volcano is. Like that area.
Yeah. Well, Volcanoes National Park is sort of south, but yes. Yeah, it is over there. And that's also like when we were supposed to do a helicopter tour, but it was raining and the weather was not good enough to go up. So it was canceled, but that was out of the Hilo airport as well.
Do you remember? I'm trying to remember a lot of people that drove it. How far is that drive?
About an hour and a half.
Is that the one that's like a really crazy road?
No.
Okay.
That's Hana.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very straight. And
Maui.
And navigating in Hawaii, I think it's really wise if you're going to go to Hawaii to rent a car because it's a big island, but it is drivable and there's a lot to see. So having a car sort of gives you that ultimate freedom and it's not complicated. It's really difficult to get lost because there's a road that sort of goes around.
So like Tortola.
And then there's a few that, yes, sort of like Tortola, except for without the like burning your brakes out issues.
Did you see the cool thing? We stayed at the same resort, Elizabeth.
Yes.
Did you notice driving in the mountain with the snow on top?
We did not see that.
It was so cool. I don't know.
That's
is that because it was raining?
We were there in April. I don't remember why that was, but it's just right there on the tip of that one. There's a big antenna for a radio station or something up there also.
Yeah, our tour guide was telling us, and I actually remembered this from when I was there as a teenager. I actually took a science class there when I was a teenager. It was a great opportunity. And Hawaii, the Big Island, has, I think there's 13 climates out there, like basic temperate zones. Hawaii has 11 of the 13.
Isn't that amazing?
The two that it doesn't have are the two, like, extremes. So it doesn't have the Arctic, and it doesn't have this, like, hot desert, like the Sahara Desert. It has some desert climates, but they're not the extreme, like, hot desert. So, yeah, you can go through rainforests, you can have snow, but it's just lacking the, yeah, which is really cool. It's, like, so close to the equator, and it's got a volcano. I mean, it really is, like, a scientist's dream to go there.
They have races, Sandy. There's marathons.
Oh, yeah. Around. Yeah, I know. I hear really good things about the Kauai Marathon. Mm-hmm. But, how long did it take you to fly there? Yeah. That's a long flight, right?
It was a long time. What did you, do you remember, Amy, what you did a couple of stops, didn't you?
In air time, Sandy? Because I feel like it took us like, I should have looked this up. I could be way off, but I'm thinking at least 14 hours with all the layovers.
Mm-hmm. So if you were going from like LA though, like West Coast, your last hopping off point.
It's about,
six?
The closest I got was Denver. So on the way there, we stopped in Denver and then we continued on and that was about 9.
Wow. Maybe, yeah, that's far.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. And that was to Hilo. And then we flew back from Honolulu. We flew all the way to Dulles in Washington, D.C., overnight, and that was 9, 10, something like that. It was a long, long way. Maybe 11, maybe 12. I don't remember. I should have looked that up.
So what you're telling me is that if you're going, you should plan to go for like at least a week, maybe two. Spend some time out there.
And listen to our podcast episode a couple of episodes ago where we talked about really long flights. Yes. Yeah.
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 A lot of people do the island hopping. A lot of my clients will spend, 5 to 7 days on one island and take a really cheap once you get there, between $150 and $200 to fly to another island, mm-hmm. stay another 5 to 7 nights. Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's a far way to go. My cousins who live in L.A., when they were growing up, that was kind of where people went on their holiday, but I didn't realize it was still that far, because I would think...
There were a lot of people from Australia there when we were there.
Well, are you halfway to Australia?
The most tourism I saw, and actually a big influence on the food, is Japan. Mm-hmm. You're actually very close to Japan, all things considered. I mean, things considered, yeah.
There's a lot of Japanese in... Japanese tourists in Alaska too.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say Alaska. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also in California. I mean, it is sort of the closest point, but there's a huge influence, Asian influence on the food in Hawaii for sure. I mean, I had some fantastic sushi. They get some like great sakis and I mean, because it's close enough that they're really bringing that stuff in. So.
Well, I think that originally the native Hawaiian people sort of came from Samoa and Tonga and sort of the Pacific Islands. I'm fascinated in Hawaii and actually the island of Hawaii because from a British perspective, it's actually the place, I don't know if you guys know this, where Captain James Cook was killed. Mm-hmm. The British explorer, who it was his third voyage to the islands of the Pacific and he had a little encounter with some of the natives and they didn't really care for it.
Yeah. He discovered Alaska too. Well... discovered the people who were already there.
Yes. as we say,
there's a lot of Captain Cook stuff in Anchorage.
Well, he was a very important explorer, actually. Yeah. And so that is very...
Yeah, like New Zealand and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't he big on
that? Yeah, a lot of the Pacific Island nations as well.
So. Yeah.
So, Elizabeth, I know that there are resorts and towards the Hilo side, towards that Hilo airport, but... do you know much about, like, I know, because everybody I send goes to the, I'm going to say it wrong, Waikalaika Beach area.
Waikalea, I believe.
Sure, that area. There's a ton of, that Hilton, it is a mega resort there. Mm-hmm. There's the Marriott over there, I'm trying to remember, there's stuff over by the Hilo side too, though, right?
There is, but honestly, Hilo is, and you drive through it, actually, Andy, you'll appreciate this, it looked like there would be a brewery on every corner, because every time you go to a brewery, it's always in like an industrial sort of bad section of town. So really, I was like, where's the brewery? Because this is totally brewery land right here. You can go, and there's some good surfing over there, apparently, but it's, I don't know that many people stay there for great lengths of time. A lot of adventuring from there. That was where our zip line adventure sort of started from. That was also where the helicopter was. So yes, there's things to do on that side, but whether or not you'd want to hang out there for, it's almost worth the hour and a half drive.
Just drive. Yeah. So we rented a car for one day from where we were at that Hilton, and we ended up doing a rainforest drive. And it wasn't very far before it was raining. There's some cute little towns that had that. What is the snow cone stuff that they have there? The snow, the ice that's so big. It's like, I forget what it's called. It's like a shaved ice. Mm-hmm. And it's one little town in the rainforest that's known for it. So we stopped for our snow cone. Stopped at a public beach where there were some caves the girls could kind of swim in. Water was cold.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Oh. That's, and one thing to know about Hawaii is a lot of the water around it, not just the Big Island, but all over Hawaii, is national park. Mm-hmm. And so if you have ever thought about snorkeling, or if you've snorkeled before, or you want to dive, you can't beat it, because you're not allowed to kill anything there. I mean, it's protected water area, and it is really amazing, amazing place to go and see everything. I mean, I saw everything there. Starfish. I saw sea anemone sex. Everything. Which, incidentally, is really,
really
boring. Yeah. They're sort of, they're asexual, right? So they just sort of spray stuff out. You know, yeah, it's really boring. But anyway, I saw it.
One of the things that I think about when I think of Hawaii is actually some of the breweries. We mentioned it, kind of the industrial areas. But Kona Brewing Company originated in Hawaii, and now they have a West Coast operation. But did you have a chance to sample some of the local brews?
I did. And, you know, so Kona is one that you can get some of their mainstream stuff here in North Carolina. So I wasn't really excited to try any Kona. However, I did, because there's stuff there that they don't export. Yeah, exactly. So there was some really good stuff. I will say that they have a coconut porter that tasted the least like coconut of anything. I would think in Hawaii, I would get coconut. But I didn't.
Really?
But it was, there was some really good stuff there. The Overboard IPA, which I believe, I'm forgetting who that was. That might be Kona, or one of the other breweries. And actually might've been one of the breweries that's on, Oahu. It was a really good IPA. It was a really outstanding IPA. So, Hawaii is very proud of their brewing. So it's very easy to find. That was something I didn't expect too, because a lot of times when you go someplace that is touristy, it's a bit harder to find. The hotel, the Hilton, didn't have a big wide variety. It had the Konas and, you know, but almost anywhere else that I went, any other restaurant, yes, you could get
it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Yeah, very. And I didn't get a chance to go to a brewery. We just didn't really have the opportunity to do so. But I definitely sampled a wide variety. It was good.
Nice.
Good stuff.
So you took your kids, who are
nine and 11.
And your girls were a little bit older than that, right, Amy?
So it was 2 years ago.
Really? Oh. So they were like, 13 and...
8 and 7.
11 or something.
Like that.
So what did you guys think, though? Did the kids have enough to do? Were they, was there a lot of... Yeah?
Yeah.
Loved it. They still talk about this trip.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, they loved it. It was their favorite.
Yeah. And on this particular trip for me, we spent a short amount of time on the Big Island, and then we moved to Oahu, which we'll talk about in another podcast. So that was, I mean, more of our activities were really... But when we were on the Big Island, I did take the opportunity. I booked an all-day tour that I highly recommend, despite the fact that parts of it went wrong for us because of weather. But it was a sort of a threefer. It was a helicopter tour, which we didn't get to do because the weather was bad. And again, that's okay by me. I don't want to get up in a helicopter.
No.
If it's not that the wind's going to blow you down, if you can't see anything, there's no point. We were refunded for that, so we were totally safe booking it. We did zip lining, and then we did the Volcanoes National Park. We did some hiking in the park, and then we did, and it was at night. So we actually went to the hotel that's there. That's a national park hotel. And, you know, those are really old, but they've got these like great, and it's literally sitting on the lip of the crater. Mm-hmm. And you could see, as the sun went down, you can see because it is sort of just bubbling. It's not, you know, dramatic. So it's basically, it looked like Mordor basically, which was kind of cool. It's lit up at night. There's a museum there too. It was really nice. And that's actually, I had a couple of good beers there and some good food.
Did you stay there?
No, we didn't stay there. It was just a day tour. It started earlier than, they picked us up at like 6:30 in the morning. And we had to drive across the island, and our guide talked to us the whole way about sciencey things. Science, lots of science.
Big regret on that island is that we did not do that. Huge regret.
Yeah, it was expensive. It was totally worth it. I mean, he talked about the different kinds of lava as we passed over various lava flows, because it flows differently depending on how hot the lava is. So he sort of pointed all that out, and what plants can then grow more quickly versus, you know, so you could tell where older flows were versus newer ones. Really, really interesting. And of course, these are all shield volcanoes, which basically means they're not like pointy, like the one, you know, like your science experiment volcano that you put baking powder in. They're all more gentle slopes, which makes a really pretty landscape as well. And of course, there's a huge observatory at the top of one of them on the Big Island.
So you could get right up into the volcano?
Not right up into it. That would be stupid.
Owen wanted to do.
It's on the edge of it.
Yeah, but you could get, I mean, it's as close to a volcano as I would ever want to be. I definitely felt like, you know, that I had a Joe in the volcano moment. If somebody pushed me really hard, I could have been gone. Yeah. We really weren't that close.
That's good to know.
But you can imagine, I mean, because really you're standing around mostly cooled lava, and then you can see the actual eruption happening way over there, which is why it's good to go at night, because mm-hmm. then you can see that it lit up. But you can, you know, I'm sure that, you know, close to you could get really, really hot. And there mm-hmm. are, like, steam vents where you can stand and you can feel that steam coming up. And, yeah, don't mess with Mother Nature.
So it's such a, yeah, I love the whole national park thing. Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And, again, a lot of Hawaii is national park. Yeah. So, and all kinds of national parks all over the state of every kind. Memorials, sciencey stuff, everything.
So who would you say you would market sort of a trip to Hawaii too? I mean, was it families with children, or would it be sort of adventure seekers, or who do you think the ideal clients are or people to go and visit Hawaii?
Amy,
So I'm dying to answer this one. You answer your way. So I will say, gosh, I book both. I book families, but most recently, I mean, that's an expensive trip for a whole family. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just had a couple get back on their 10-year anniversary trip, and I have a couple there right now doing their honeymoon trip. Mm-hmm. And the honeymoon trip people are the adventure seekers. Like, she wanted me to tell her all about what adventures he could do. Like, he's ready to do some jumping out of an airplane or something thing. Mm-hmm. So he's a true adventure seeker.
And hopefully she's not ready to push him into
Not yet.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see what they end up with, because a lot of it there too is weather, so sometimes it's better to kind of book when you're there with the tour companies that are on site. Not always, but sometimes.
Or just know that you'll get a refund if things go wrong.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. My other couple that was there for their 10-year anniversary, they booked nothing ahead of time, but man, they did some really cool stuff. And I would not peg them as adventure seekers, but they did that helicopter tour. Their pictures were amazing. But gosh. Andy, I don't know. I think it appeals to all. There's a lot of resorts there.
Just
for
a wide range of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, if it's got so many different microclimates and temperate mm-hmm. zones or climate zones, it just strikes me as being something for everybody. But I just wondered sort of what you guys really thought would be there. I've not had the pleasure of visiting yet.
We highly recommend it. I would say we say that a lot. There's something for everyone. And of course, there is all over the world, because there is everyone everywhere. You know, there's all kinds of people everywhere. But I do think Hawaii is one of those. It's a must do. And one of the things we liked about taking our family there, and Amy, you can say whether or not you agree with this, it was a great warm up exercise for us. We have not yet taken our kids overseas. Really, they've been out of the country in the sense that they've been to the Caribbean and the Bahamas. They haven't even been to Canada yet. So for us, this was a great warm up activity, because we were still in the United States, but it was definitely a different culture. Absolutely a different landscape and climate, and mm-hmm. it was really far away. So we got to sort of test how they handled a long flight, how they handled another language, even though Hawaiian isn't like, it's not something that you would have to stumble across and have to communicate in, but you do hear a lot of Hawaiian words, and my kids can now say, huma huma nuku nuku apua.
Which how about that tram? Like, my kids memorized what was on that tram.
Oh, I have no idea. What was it? Do you know?
No, I don't remember now.
So, wake them up.
So, Huma Nuku Nuku Apua is the state fish of Hawaii. It's a trigger fish. It's one word. And so we practice saying it over and over and over again. And my kids would impress everybody in Hawaii that they knew this word.
Because the word trigger fish comes up in everyday conversation.
It does, indeed. Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, it does come up a lot in Hawaii, because there's pictures of it everywhere. So you have lots of opportunities to go, hum, hum, you know, point. But anyway, you know, there are words, and we were there over Christmas, so Mele Kalikimaka and all that. You could, you know, you can pick up some another language and actually sort of get that mm-hmm. idea without actually being sort of in a situation where you'd be like, I can't order a ham sandwich because I don't know what I'm talking about. So it's sort of a good. It was a good testing ground for us to see if our kids were ready to explore more exotic locations.
One of the things I hear about Hawaii is that it's quite expensive as well. I mean, not just the traveling there, but the, with it being part of the U.S. and one of the 50 states, but it's, you know, gasoline's expensive. A lot of things have to be imported. Yeah. Is that the case?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an island in the middle of nowhere. There wasn't a meal that we didn't spend $100 on. Not a single meal. And we didn't always eat in a resort.
For four of you.
Yeah, it's pretty consistently $100. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know.
So another way to think about doing that island, it's still going to be expensive to get there, but it's a cruise ship that hits mm-hmm. so many different ports, and then you have your meals on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to mention when you asked about the who you would book. My parents did a cruise on the Pride of America, the Norwegian Pride of America, with all their cousins. So they had like 4 or 5 cabins worth of cousins, and they were all, you know, retired age art people, you know, but they loved it. And my dad is the adventurer. He was doing the helicopter tours and the zip lining, and my mom was hitting up the spa. So there's totally something for everyone.
And I will say, when you do a cruise, you usually do hit both Kona and Hilo on that, you know, because you circle around. Mm-hmm. And you get to see the volcanoes from the water, which now is not as impressive as it was back in 19 when I was there for high school, when I was there, we actually could take a boat out and see the lava spilling out to the ocean, which was super cool with all the cause, and it was basically it's like let's watch an island being made. You don't really get to see that too often. Now it's actually a little bit more sort of spiry. It's not doing that, but at any point a hole could bust through and more lava would pour out into the ocean again. So yeah, it's really cool to see from the water, and you get to stop in both of those. And those are the two major sort of cities on the Big Island.
So. I love you.
I love you. Yes. I was singing that song the whole time. I was there. It's a cute little song. And you do hear ukuleles, and you do hear Don Ho still.
Is that where the Brady Bunch episode was on the Big Island?
I think everybody said like an episode
4. I know, and everybody talks about that tiki thing. I don't know that I ever actually saw the tiki episode, or if I did.
Really? With the tarantula? No, oh my God.
I have no recollection.
Seriously?
Yeah.
With that creepy music every time somebody else would put on that tiki thing? Oh my God.
Maybe one of our listeners could tell us if that was the Big Island. I really have no
I feel like it was Honolulu.
It probably was. Most people go to Honolulu.
Greg was surfing and stuff.
Yeah. And another big thing that we should, before we stop talking about Hawaii, because we are sort of near the end, but Hawaii is also very famous for coffee. And I'm kind of a late comer to coffee myself. I only started drinking about an hour and a half ago. About a year and a half. Time's wasted. About a year and a half ago. And that Kona coffee is really, really good. Definitely
worth it.
Yes.
And the macadamia nuts are good too. My mm-hmm. parents sent us some like chocolate covered ones.
Some that were chocolate covered with toffee as well. I should have bought like a case of those.
You should have sent them to all your
to all my friends,
people in your
and
agency
maybe Sandy too.
Ha ha.
Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. Anybody who knows that Brady Bunch episode location, you just send it right to us. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or search for Fly Away. Or if you don't like any of those options, you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Amy, Sandy, Andy, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel. See you next week. Gotta fly.